I'm so excited to talk to our guest today because this is one has been this conversation has been on the books for months now. She's a hard one to pin down because she is all over the globe all the time, having so much fun. And her name is Jackie.
Jackie has a huge travel podcast called Jump with Traveling Jackie. And she explores this entire world. But the cool thing, one of the cool things that she does is she invites people along her journey. And so you get to go on trips with her.
Yeah. One of her biggest niches and one of the biggest things she does year round is leading group trips. So that could be backpacking, it could be international. She has been, I feel like she's been all over. Just following her on social media, I know right now she's somewhere in a truck camper in the American Southwest, but we talked to her back in December trying to have her on the podcast and she was in Patagonia. I mean, she's been everywhere. So I'm really excited to talk to her. I think we have a lot in common as far as traveling by overland occasionally, but also just the desire to see the entire world. So this is our conversation with Jackie, or Traveling Jackie, as you may know her on Instagram, from the podcast Jump with Traveling Jackie.
Oh, wait, before we jump into this conversation, see what I did there? If you could leave a review or, you know, a rating, something nice, just say something nice about us.
Oh my gosh.
That would be greatly, greatly appreciated on iTunes or YouTube or Spotify. We really appreciate it. Sarah is blushing right now.
We're just going to go ahead and get to the podcast.
Let's go. Jackie, thanks for being here. Like, you're in a truck right now in Arizona, and we're in our home in Tennessee, and this is just going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah.
Yes. No, thank you guys for having me. I know we've all been looking forward to this for a while, so it's nice to finally connect with you.
Yeah. First of all, for people who can't see where you're at, you are in a truck camper. So do you want to tell people who you are and then where you're at right now, what that lifestyle looks like for you?
Oh my gosh. Easy questions to start, right? My name's Jackie Nurse, and I've been known for a while as Traveling Jackie on the interwebs, but I've been traveling for like 21 years. Like, I started when I was really young. I was 18 when I first moved abroad, and it's just kind of snowballed into, there were like 4 different study abroads that I did. All of that turned into blog, podcasts, eventually group trips. And that's kind of what has landed me in this travel industry that I'm in, is just the decades. I can say that. It's really weird when you can start measuring your life in decades, but I can do that now.
Yeah.
I know, right? But yeah, that's sort of what has landed me in this place. And then last June, since you're talking about the truck camper, I went full time in, so I've owned a Toyota Tacoma for the last 4 years. It's a short bed. So there's 5 feet of space underneath me. And it is incredible what they can do with such a small amount of space, because I've got my whole little like studio apartment in a tiny little living space here, but I'm sitting in a dispersed campsite outside of Phoenix, Arizona. So I'm like up against the mountains and I can literally see a saguaro cactus right outside my window. They're all over the place. And there's not a cloud in the sky today. It's sunshine and it's February right now. So I'm not sad about that.
No.
Being from Montana, like I'm from Montana the rest of the year, and it's not like this there right now. And I'm very happy to be in the sunshine, soaking up the warmth. So
yeah.
Montana. I love Montana. What part?
Bozeman, Southwest.
Love it. One of our favorite small towns.
We have a lot of questions and a lot of things to talk about.
So first off, I don't even know where to start with this, because I want to ask you so many things about like the truck camper, like how you're liking it and life on the road. What led you to the truck camper? How did you end up there after 20 years of traveling? Mm-hmm. How did you decide one day I'm going to go on the road?
Well, it's been a plethora of things. One of those sort of series of events that led up to this, but it's always been on my mind, and I've been nomadic before. The last time I went nomadic was with a backpack, and I was just sort of, I mean, I've done it so many times, honestly, like over the last 20 years, like, yeah, I've lived abroad. I've backpacked for like up to a year at a time. Like, of course there's that sort of nomadism. And a few years back, gosh, I shouldn't say that, because it was more like 9 years ago now. I went nomadic with just a backpack, and it was like 3 years that I was on the road, and it was a beautiful experience. And I ended up back in Montana after that, where I landed in a little studio apartment that just about a year and a half ago, they decided to turn it into an Airbnb. And so I had to move out. And I mean, yeah, it was, I, it's interesting because like there's a whole story there that we don't even need to unpack, like that whole issue that's happening right now. However, for the last couple of years leading up to that, I had felt like there was something big coming for me, like some big change on the horizon. It could be multiple. I don't really know. I could tell there was something coming. And then like after about a year later is when I found out that I was going to have to move out of my place. I'm like, well, this is interesting because I had been looking at truck campers and, I mean, I have my truck, you know, and I decided to just get serious about the research. When I moved out of my place, I did try renting somewhere else and it just didn't work out. And I was like, you know what? Now's the time. This is the time. There's a reason that I had to move out, that none of these other, like, you know, I'm kind of running into brick walls in other places. Let's go ahead and do this truck camper thing. Like, now's the time if I'm going to do it. And so, I got really serious about it and I did a whole bunch of research and I ended up picking four wheel campers. I only had a couple of options because of my short bed. There's really only like literally three on the market that would fit appropriately in the back of this truck. I think people do it inappropriately where they're just like loaded down with weight and it's hanging off the end and like, all right, but that's like not the game I wanted to play, you know? And so, I ended up in a four wheel camper's pop-up Swift, the tiniest little one that they make. It's for a 5 foot bed. It's called a Swift and it's my first little home. I've never owned a sink before and I am a proud owner of a sink now and a stove and a fridge and like all these things. It's amazing.
Do you absolutely love life on the road? Because I know to people who may not have ever traveled nomadically before, 5 feet of living area might seem small, but what are your thoughts on that? Do you just absolutely love having everything with you or do you get claustrophobic or what is that like?
No, you know what? It's just me in here and I'm a minimalist. So like, I don't need a lot of space. I love cozy. It's like my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. I love to be cozy. I love small spaces. And so my tiny little camper is the coziest thing you ever did see. It's very fitting for me. And so instead of basically putting on a backpack and traveling the world, I gave my truck a backpack and now I get to live in it, which is like a whole different scenario. Like I have absolutely everything I need with me in this vehicle. I can do any activity. Like I have a bunch of gear with me. I'm set up for all of it. And so I'm just adventuring like in a different style, I guess. And I mean, it hasn't come without challenges for sure, but I'm learning a lot and I am the word that keeps coming to me throughout this whole experience is empowered. Like I'm so empowered by everything I've been learning, all the challenges I've been overcoming and the things I've been accomplishing. Like it feels really good. And I feel like I'm just getting stronger as a person, you know, it's like, yeah, I can do this. I'm doing it. I'm figuring it all out by myself. And I mean, that's like the story of my life. So there you go. Yeah.
I love it. I love that word empower though, because I feel like that's how we feel too. I mean, we entered the whole van life bubble and now truck camper world and we knew practically nothing, but it's just like every day is a new challenge and we've developed so many random skills we never thought we were going to have.
Yeah.
And it's empowering. It really is. I mean, even from like feeling confident going off grid. I mean, I know you backpack and that kind of thing, but off grid to us was pretty foreign, but now we feel pretty empowered to be like, okay, I've got my legs under, like I can do this going off grid, live on my own, know how to get around, find my way out of the woods. You know, like it's just an empowering lifestyle. Yeah.
We'll go to REI and we'll look at the employees and be like, we know more than you.
No, we don't. No. Like the Ron Swanson one. I know more than you.
So, no. So you transitioned to this truck camper and you have been traveling before that. You know, you've been in the travel niche for a while.
You were early in the travel social media niche.
Did you find that you like discovered a new niche? Like, because like traveling by truck is an entirely different, like almost niche than by like traveling by backpacking, you know? Mm-hmm. And so did you find that the communities overlapped or that you were, you know, in this whole different world that you weren't, you know, prepared for?
It's definitely its own niche for sure. But it doesn't, it's not mutually exclusive. I mean, I'm still traveling solo as a female. There are still a lot I can write about to that extent because, well, okay, I say that. I love to write. I don't actually blog all that much, but it's my favorite thing. Like I know that I have a podcast, which I do sometimes and like I lead trips and stuff, but really like me traveling, Jackie, like I'm a traveler. And I adventure and I explore and I'm often alone when I do it. And if I'm going to create content, it defaults to, well, look, there she is on her own again, like doing something. So that's why I say like the whole solo female travel thing. It's just kind of where I live. It absolutely overlaps. And I had to do, I mean, honestly, I have found myself in this, in a pretty cool niche just with this specific camper, because it's not a popular one, because it's most people have a 6 foot bed at least, which is what I would say normal, you know, like I have, yeah. My truck is a manual, it's a manual transmission. And when I bought it, that was make or break for me. I wanted a manual. I wanted a stick shift. And it only came in a 5 foot bed. It was like, well, all right, decision made. Like I didn't know I was going to be trying to put a camper on it 4 years later and have, you know, three options. And so I think that that alone kind of sets me apart. And I saw an opportunity as I was honestly like looking through, I was just scouring the internet for anything I could find on a Swift. Nothing. There's nothing out there. Like I did not even know really what the inside of this camper was going to look like before I owned it and stepped into it myself, because there just isn't anything up there. Like there aren't even really pictures of like a custom built out one. Like there's just nothing. And so, yeah, I mean, there's of course opportunity there that I'm kind of sliding into. Cause like, yeah, I've learned a lot, like, and I figured out a lot on the way, and I want to be able to help people with that, because I did a lot of research and I didn't find what I was looking for. I did not find anybody with this setup, with the bike rack solution that I have, with the exact like Starlink setup solution that I have. You know, it's like, okay, this needs to be out there. And so that's essentially where we find our niches, is like, because we're out doing things. And well, at least for me, I'm writing and podcasting about the things that I'm not hearing about, or I'm not being able to find information about, you know? And so, sure, it's a new niche, but it's also still me, you know, it's like, it's just what I'm doing now. And it's organic. It fits well. And I actually have started blogging again about it, because I'm like inspired to, you know, it's fun for me, even though it's totally nerdy posts, like what I did for my suspension on my truck. Like you can nerd out with me if you want to, but you might just skip over that one unless you like are.
We will. You know? We're like deep in that truck world now too. Like we can talk about everything, like wheels, tires, name it.
Oh, so could I.
Yeah. Isn't it weird how life takes that weird turn? Never saw myself being a mechanic, and here we are.
And like, I'm not a car guy by habit. And so, and we'll stop in a parking lot and we'll have a guy come over and he's like, well, nice tires. What are those? And I always have to look at Sarah. I'm like, Sarah, what are these tires? Like, I don't know what this is, you know?
Yeah. That's funny. Cause I've always loved tires. So that's one thing, even before, like I finally got I have a pair of BFGs, KO2s, like all terrain. Nice. Like I love them. And I've had my sights set on them for a while. And finally I was like, dude, I'm doing it. You know, like my truck looks so good now. I love like, a good set of tires. So I don't know. I definitely know what I have, but again, it came from research. Like I compared that set with a bunch of other tires, and I read a bunch of blogs, and like, I know exactly why I have them and what I expect from them. And you know, I mean, that's the part that goes into the research that like has been so inspiring, because I've learned so much. I speak languages I didn't speak before about suspension and like, I mean, compressors and all these things, battery, like amp hours, you know, you got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get it.
Yeah, I think that's
awesome. And then you're sharing it with the world via the blog. And are you doing any podcast episodes on your new truck camper?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have one. Yeah, I have one from like that I did last summer that was like the beginning of it. And I have a plan to do a few more now that I'm in it and I've had some challenges and I've learned a whole bunch of things. Like, okay, now I can approach it from a different side and say what's working and what I figured out and stuff that I still hadn't known at the beginning, you know? So, but yeah, I'm definitely going to be sharing more about it. So
that'd be interesting to hear like the early on days and the, you know, 9 months in kind of thing.
Yeah.
So do you travel around or do you mostly stick in one area in the truck camper? Do you have groups of friends that you kind of travel with? Cause I know you said you're solo, but I feel like for us, the world of overlanding and van life, like there's just this natural community that comes with it. Do you ever travel with others or cross paths with others on the road? Or, I mean, we really love having community when we travel. So how do you go about having that community socializing when you are by yourself?
That's a really, really good question, because it's really important to me too, to like be with my people. You know, it's actually being out, I'm calling it out, quotes out this winter, instead of back in Montana where I have like my hockey community and my friends and like everybody, you know, people was one of my biggest, I guess, concerns. It's like how, because only because I've been there, done that, and I know how I get when I'm not around my people, that I can just go have a glass of wine with, just hang out or take a hike or whatever it is. Like, I need my people. And it's part of the reason that I chose to come to this area, like the Scottsdale area outside of Phoenix, because I know so many people down here. And the wildest thing about being here is that I also have had so many people come visit, which I know sounds strange. Like, it's not like they're staying with me, but like, they've come through Phoenix, right? It's like, whoa, because that doesn't happen in Montana. Like, people don't go to Montana in the winter unless they're diehard set on skiing or something. You know, it just doesn't happen. And so I've actually gotten to see so many more good friends in the first month of being here than I would in an entire, you know, 9 month winter in Montana. So it's really cool. I know, right? But I have yet to, in my own camper, I have yet to do a trip with friends that are also overlanding. I've done it before, but not in the last year with my own camper. So, and really it's because it's not like I'm planning adventures with people or like signing up to go do what someone else is doing. I'm just living. Like, I'm just doing what I'm doing, you know? And it's like, well, where do I want to be? I'm going to choose Scottsdale or whatever, this Phoenix area, because there's dry trails, sunshine, there's an ice hockey rink where I can play pickup games, and I know people there. So I have like my community if I need to. And so it's checking a whole bunch of boxes. And in the meantime, no, I'm out here by myself. I mean, there's other campers around in this dispersed lot that I've been frequenting the most. I've moved around quite a bit, but there's a spot that I really like that's just convenient to me out here that I've keep coming back to. And but no, I mean, I'm doing it alone. You know, I've taken my clothes to a laundromat, I've washed clothes at a friend's house, I fill up water like at different friends' houses, and I'm just kind of making it work. And I do look forward to the day when I can go on an adventure with other rigs in my rig. Like, I think that sounds like an absolute dream, but that's not like a 24/7 thing. I don't think I can count on doing that all the time. That's like a one-off adventure here or there, you know? Yeah. And so in the meantime, I'm just living.
I love that. So it sounds like you travel slow and you kind of do stick to one area for a long time. Do you do like the seasonal migration? Because I feel like that's what we do. Like, we would chase the summer weather in the winter. Like, we'd go south in the winter and then go north in the summer. Is that kind of how you do it too?
Well, it's right now. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Arizona in February.
Yes, please. When I was nomadic for those 3.5 years, from 2015 to 2018, I would spend my time in the, I would fly south and then I'd fly north when the snow is threatening. You know, I mean, I was in Patagonia for months of that, of those, during that time. You know, I'd go south, way south, like all the way opposite south. And then the snow would start to threaten the mountains. And I'm like, okay, it's time to fly north again, which is a weird thing to say, but like, that's what you do. So yeah, I have definitely had my seasons of being seasonal. And I mean, sometimes I want to be in Bozeman and where I can ski and play hockey and all of that and do the winter thing. And sometimes I don't. So I'm just being very aware of it and kind of exploring my options and seeing, how to kind of balance all of that. That's like what I'm really trying to figure out right now is how to balance it so that I can stay inspired and stay like on my game, you know, and stay excited. And the sunshine really helps with that. For sure.
Yeah. So how do you balance, you do international travel and now you do overland travel. How do you balance it too? Like, I mean, there's like 20 questions I want to ask you. Like, how do you leave? Cause we're like about to deal with the same upcoming international trips where you park the truck somewhere. And are you still doing international trips now that you have the truck? How does that work?
Absolutely. Oh, I have to. I can't not. I'm actually leaving on Saturday to go to Baja, to lead a group trip. And for this one, I mean, this is the Phoenix airport that I'm flying out of, you know, that it's not even my home airport. But I just researched sort of, I have friends who have offered, but this area is way bigger than I'm used to. And it's actually cheaper to just like park at there's multiple airport parking. So there's always that, like you can look into airport parking, you pay for it by the day, but sometimes it's really affordable and they have shuttles and stuff. So for example, that's what I'm going to do this week. But when I was in Bozeman, like all of last year, the past 6 months, or the last 6 months of last year, I was, you know, living out of the truck. And I would just park the truck at a friend's house, just like leave it on the street somewhere where there were eyes on it, you know, and I would get a ride to the airport and fly away for up to what? I think I was only gone maybe a month or 6 weeks or something at most during that time. But yeah, you just kind of figure it out as you go. It is hard because if you're trying to make plans in the future too, it's like, you don't even know what airport you need to fly out of for said trip, you know, that's happening. That's one of the constant, dilemmas that I have, I guess, in my life in general, because I just don't normally know where I'm going to be, but you just have to take it day by day. And I think you also have to remember everything is figure outable and everything is changeable. So, you know, like if the plan changes and you have to change a ticket, you do it. Or if you have to pay extra for an Uber that one time, you do it. You know, it's just, you figure it out.
Yeah.
I like that mentality a lot.
I like that too. I feel like that's our mantra a little bit. We're like, well, we'll figure it out. Like when we get there.
If anything good came out of COVID, it was that all the airlines dropped their change fees and stuff. So now you can just change flights like all the time.
And we've done that countless of times. Countless
Delta
times.
Hates me right now because we've changed flights so many times.
Yeah. No, but they can't do anything about it. I'm the same I know. It's so nice. I'm like, well, I mean, if I don't want to go that day, I'll just move it. And it's like, it's not right. Yeah. I made money the last time I did. I was like, that was surprising, you know, like you get money back. Oh, right. Thanks. Cause I give you guys enough money anyway.
Exactly.
You don't get any more.
They're okay. They're okay.
They're not hurting.
Yeah.
You did say something and I really want to lean into this for a second. Group trips. You lead a ton of group trips. It sounds like Baja's upcoming, but I guess by the time this podcast episode is out, you will probably be back from Baja. But how did you start with group trips, and what kind of group trips do you lead? Are they all female? Are they mixed groups, age groups? What does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So great question. And again, just like kind of everything else in my story, it was super organic because a handful of years into blogging and podcasting, you know, I'm still out traveling and all these people, I have this amazing community of people who are listening to the podcast, reading the blogs, like whatever. And I decided to make one of my longtime dreams come true and invite people to come travel with me. And honestly, I tried it before before I had like an audience, a community. And it doesn't work. Like if you need thousands of people to get 10 people to say yes to a trip, you know what I mean? Like unless you have like the coolest, most badass travel friends, which I also have. So like I'll do friend trips, but in the general public, like I want to have an effect on the people who are paying attention to what I'm doing. Like, but why are you just watching and listening? Like, let's have you do this thing too. You know, like it's not, cause this isn't about me. Sure. My story about me, fine, but yours isn't. You know, so like, let's go write your story. And so what does that look like and how can I help? And so basically that's how I started. It was by saying to my podcast listeners and blog readers, like, hey guys, we're going to Patagonia. Like, do you trust me? Can you come with me? Like, let's go do this together. And it turns out they did trust me and they did want to come with me. And so that was, we started with, you know, one trip back in 2016 and it's just kind of slowly and organically grown since then. And it was 2021 that I branded it Jump Adventures, but it's because it didn't have a name before. It was just like Jackie Trips. People just called it like traveling with Jackie, you know, whatever. And so it's all about taking the leap, right? So that's why I named it Jump Adventures. It's like, there's a whole bunch that goes behind that name, but we're really growing it now. It's only gaining in, I guess, participants and interest. And so I am now in a place where I'm like, okay, it's time for me to continue to really show up and step it up for this thing that I've created that's touching so many people and allowing these incredible experiences to happen, like from by design, which is really cool to be able to play a part in that. So we have Baja this next week, actually. And then we're going to New Zealand at the end of this year. And I have a few other trips that are,
dream trip.
Do you need anybody to help?
Like, is there someone on the show? Because I'm ready to go. Have you been yet? Have you been to New Zealand?
No, and that's why we're going. Because I turn 40 at the end of this year, and I wanted to do New Zealand for my 40th birthday and thought, well, why not invite a whole bunch of fun people to come with me? And so that's exactly
how
what I did.
Fun.
So we're doing that, and then we have a few other trips that are still to be launched that are coming out for later this year as well. And so those will be up here soon. When are we launching this podcast? I don't know. Maybe I can give a spoiler.
probably in three weeks.
You want to
spoil?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll spoil.
You say whenever you're comfortable.
Always,
okay.
Right. Yeah. I know. And it either happens or it doesn't, right? Everything is changeable. So
for sure.
Exactly. So, we need to put a tagline on everything we do.
Yeah. I love that.
Everything is asterisk. Everything is changeable. Yes. Right. Because we're people and no, we're going to go back to Patagonia at the end of this year as well. Patagonia is like my flagship. And so we're doing one of those and I'm setting up a bike trip in Switzerland in the Swiss back in 2018 and I kind of tweaked it and spiced it up a little bit and I'm gonna be launching that one here soon, so and maybe one or two, but we'll see.
That's
amazing.
I want to do both of those so badly. I got a question about the Switzerland one. Okay, is it road biking, mountain biking? What is that? I'm so excited about that.
It's going to be on roads mostly. I mean, it's not mountain biking. So they're like hybrid touring bikes is what you get with a pannier on the back and it's luggage supported. So basically you get to show up and rent a bike so you don't have to bring really anything with you. And your luggage just disappears from one hotel and magically shows up at the next one. And you just get to ride your bike all day to the next.
Sarah's pulling out her credit card information right now.
That sounds so fun. In Switzerland of all places.
That sounds a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. You have no idea how tempted I am to join that trip once it launches.
That's actually really tempting. And I feel like Jackie, this is the first time we've ever talked to you like in person, but I feel like you're that type of person. Like you don't even mean to, but you slip up and you say things and I'm like, oh, this woman is probably one of the most interesting women I'll ever meet in my life. Like, you know, it's just like you do all these different things. And it's really, really
inspiring.
Yeah, it's inspiring and interesting. And are you solely like planning these trips by yourself, or do you have a team, or do you work with a company that puts everything together? How does this work?
Mm-hmm. You know what? It takes a village. Always has. Everything does, right? I would say I am the designer. I design the trips, but I always work with partners on the ground, local people. I really believe in that. And so we use local guides, we use local companies, and I connect with all of these people by going to industry conferences for adventure travel all over the world. And so I've been doing that for 9 years. And so I have, and every year I meet more and more people. And so I have a really, 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 a really, really, really big, incredible, vetted network of operators all over the world. And they've become my friends. And I mean, these are the people that I get to design these amazing trips with. And I've been working on the team aspect because it's been me for a long, long time. But like I just mentioned to you a couple minutes ago, this thing that I've created is something that now I have a responsibility to show up for. And it's a really cool thing. And I know that means asking for a lot of help. And so I'm working on building the team right now so that we can continue to offer incredible experiences and make them even better, because more brains are better than just one, you know, like I'm going to it's going to be amazing. I have a lot of really big ideas and we're going to be implementing those very soon here. So there's good things ahead for the company. And I can say that as a company, because there's going to be more than just me. So it's going to be,
it's amazing.
Pretty exciting. We're making
that's awesome.
Moves, so
congratulations. That's huge.
No, that's amazing that you're growing the company and that it's becoming this, I'm guessing a sustainable part of your income and your platform and like who you are as a creator. And, you know, like, I know that you have these different, you know, arms of your platform, like whether it's blogging or the podcast or, you know, like social. Do trips matter to you?
I think because for a long time, I have known about myself that I think that my purpose here is to be a connector. Like, I'm a connector of people to people, of people to places, of people to themselves. It's like I'm just a facilitator of, like, I set the stage, but I know that I'm not the person to be on the stage. Like, that's you. And so I know what my role is. Like, to me, it's very, very clear what my role is. Like, I am an expert at setting up that stage. It's my responsibility to set the right one and invite the right people. But the response to the invitation is up to you. So when I say, here's this thing that I've created, you know, do you trust me? Like, wherever you are, like, if this speaks to you, you should be the one to show up. But it's up to you. It's up to you to do that. You know, like, I've played my part as far as I can, and the rest is up to you. And, like, I know that that's my purpose. And so that's where the group trips thing has really, where it really became a thing to me. I think I've known for a really long time that I wanted to take people on trips. But more recently, I've understood what the purpose is. You know, it's because I have experienced such profound, I mean, my adult life has existed internationally since I was 18. And so I have experienced more than the average person of what it feels like to live and grow and be challenged and accomplish things on the road, because that's where I've lived for the past 20 years, you know? And so, but I know that, like, that's a thing that I have earned the right to know. And I want to show you what it feels like to know that, you know? And so that's why I'm constantly inviting people to X, fill in the blank, whatever it is, even if it's just picking up your earbuds and starting to listen to a podcast. Like, everything starts with just an invitation. And that's my role. Like, that's what I can do. I can put my expertise forward and then see how the people who listen and who are following and who are paying attention can show up for themselves to then write the story that should be about them, right?
I absolutely love how you said that. That invitation, I'm like, I'm ready to go with you. I'm like, let's go. Like, yeah. I feel empowered. And I understand why this side of your business is just thriving. Yeah. Cause I mean, I do feel welcome and a part of, like, yeah, Jackie's one of my friends now. Like, I'm ready to go to Baja or New Zealand with her. So
yeah, we need to get off this call immediately. Yeah, so thanks for being here. Like, we'll just, like,
you can have all my money. Just take it.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
Oh my gosh. That's such a good question.
I was curious about that because you spend a lot of time alone, but also with people.
Yeah.
I am an introvert. Okay. And thank you for asking, because I don't know if I mean, that's something that through a podcast, you don't necessarily know who someone is, right? You hear them, but I'm talking with one person right now, or, well, there's two of you, but we're having a one-on-one essentially conversation. Like, we're not in a group setting. And so you can come across way differently than, you know, like, I get on my group trips and I'm like, okay, like, let's talk about you guys now, you know, like, it's not meant to be about me. Like, I have to have my alone time. So yeah, I would say, I mean, at best, I'm an ambivert, you know, like, I'm both, but I don't think so. I feel personally like I lean more towards introvert. I love my alone time. Like, I love quiet. I love quiet and I love having my space. And I mean, just as much as I love really loud music in my ears when I'm on the trail, you know, running or whatever it is. Like, I do have to have that alone time, but yeah, it's interesting how that then comes to play when I'm doing these group trips where I'm actually the leader. I'm not leading all of them anymore, but that's a challenge for me. It really is, because I think people just don't think about that part. Like, I'm still showing up as me, you know, and so it's interesting. But yeah, I think I'm more introverted than anything else. Thanks for asking.
Yeah,
it is, right?
Yeah. That's really interesting. So I do want to ask again, I don't know if I asked this yet or not. I meant to. What are the demographics of your trips? Like, if somebody's listening, they're like, oh, I really want to go, but I'm not sure if I qualify for the trips. Like, is there a certain age group you guys always go after? Are they designated by, you know, all female or mixed? Yeah. Or, like, what does that look like?
You tried to ask that and I didn't answer you. So
I couldn't remember if I asked
you
or not.
You did,
so no,
but
worries.
I didn't get there yet. So no, we're not exclusive. So everybody is welcome. We have one hard rule that is 18 and over, because we're not babysitters. So yeah, you have to be able to sign your own paperwork, et cetera, and be responsible for yourself. And it doesn't count if you're with a guardian. Everybody has to be 18. So, and we've had a couple of 18-year-olds. So we've had from 18 all the way, this is going to blow your mind, to 78.
Oh my gosh.
Incredible. Wake up with energy, ready to go. You know how your body recovers. Like you're prepared. You've been doing this already. You're training, like you're in shape, you know, and you're going to have such a better experience if you're already getting yourselves there. And so, it definitely, we do attract people who want that kind of adventure. And then the really cool thing about that is when everybody shows up, they are ready for adventure. So back to our everything is changeable thing. If the weather is bad and we have to move a route or do something or delay or whatever, everyone's like, hey, it's just part of the adventure, you know? So it's pretty cool. The people who show up and the mindsets that they have and the way that they're ready to just tackle whatever it is that, you know, comes across their trail. It's really amazing.
So what would you say to somebody if they were, they're pretty physically fit, but they're still nervous. They're kind of nervous to take that jump. Maybe they're just shy or they're kind of nervous about their physical abilities. They've been training, but they just don't feel quite confident. Do you have any words of like affirmation for these people? Like just do it kind of idea.
You know, I can say all of that, but what I really know is that you're the only person holding you back from what's on the other side of that fear. And what is on the other side of that fear is reward. And I know get on board. You just have to take that leap.
I love that. So. Like, yes, let's go. Yeah. I feel like so like.
Please, Jackie, please, for the love of all.
I get you. This is really cool.
So how long did it take you to find that audience, to grow that audience, to find these people that would go on trips with you? How long did that take? Because I mean, obviously like you start a podcast or a blog and then maybe your mom reads it, or, you know, a good friend and that's about it, you know, and then eventually it starts growing. So was it kind of an overnight success or did it take years?
Oh yeah,
to, you know?
Totally overnight. Yeah. No. I don't think that's real.
I don't think it is either.
So you have to remember in 2003, when I started traveling, there was no Wi-Fi. We didn't have Wi-Fi. We didn't have cell phones. Yeah. Like we didn't have anything. And so in 2008, I actually started my first blog that was on Blogspot, you know, like one of those blogs that's really it's for my mom and my friends and like the six people who are paying attention. Right. And I started there until I learned that actual blogging was a thing. And that was like literally 10 years in. And so, I took the actual blogging as a thing and hit the ground running with it. And that was in 2013. And wow. In 2014, I started the podcast. And in 2015 is when I started the Traveling Jackie blog. And then in 16 is when I first invited people to travel with me. And 6 people showed up for that first trip, which I was stoked about. Like, I didn't know that at all. Like, it was a really scary thing for me to take that leap and say, hey, I'm going to try this thing. Does anybody really, you know, is anybody out there who wants to say yes to this? And I mean, 6 people on the first one. So, wow. And now that same trip to Patagonia, we sell out every time, you know, with 12, 14, 15 people every time. And so it's just a matter of, I think, sticking with it. But no, there was absolutely nothing overnight about it. And I mean, and that's why I say I don't say it lightly, that if you want to start something, like, you got to be dedicated, and it takes absolutely everything you have if you're serious about it. But I'm still here. I'm still doing it. So yeah, it's taken a long time. And there are still trips that we don't sell out, you know? And I mean, that's hard to tell too. It's like, what's going to work? What's not? Everything is figure outable, but you have to try it, you know? So
good advice here. Where do you want to go? Anything else you want to ask?
Or? I mean, like, I feel like you're totally invested into her story, who she is.
I am. Yeah. I'm like, can we just please hang out in person? Like, this sounds so fun.
Yes.
I guess I would love to ask, like, we've had other people on to talk about, you know, becoming content creators, or, you know, especially in like the travel niche, that kind of thing. But I feel like you have been in it for so long. You were definitely one of the earliest people, especially at like podcasting and blogging. So mm-hmm. What is some advice you have for somebody who wants to get started in this? But I feel like in this day and age, we all want like instant results. Mm-hmm. Like instant gratification.
Yeah. Is it too late for somebody to start, do you think? Or, I mean, be like, you have a leg up, like you started like in the early years of the internet, or, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, like, what would you say to somebody who's trying to start?
First of all, I really, really believe it's not too late to start anything. Like, if you have a dream, who is going to tell you not to do that except for yourself, right? Yeah. Please don't live your life that way. Like, again, it's the fear and reward thing. Like, if you need to try something, do it. But just know that if you want to start a podcast, it's really hard and it's really scary. I mean, you're putting yourself out there all the time, and people will say whatever they want about you. And I'm sure you guys have experienced that to some extent. Like, it's scary when you make art and put it out in the world. You are opening yourself up for judgment. Like, there's a lot of the scary side that I don't think people think about when they think of, ooh, I could get advertisers and I could make money and I could do this thing and I could sell this course or whatever it is. Like, sure, there are case studies of people who have done that. I think there are probably a lot more case studies of people, if you were to look at them, who start something and end up not following through because it's too much. I cannot believe I'm still podcasting after this is my 10th year, which is just insane. Wow. I mean, like,
congratulations.
Oh gosh. Well, thanks. I almost, it's weird because I never like wanted to be a podcaster. It was just a really, really good piece of advice that I got early on and that I followed. And when I say I'm going to do something, usually I stick with it, you know? And so, but what happened with mine was that I understood early on that that was the thing that was setting me apart, because I was the only solo female, like, independent travel podcaster out there at all. And so I think there was a need. Apparently there was a need for that. And so that's why it set me apart, and that's why I'm still doing it. And I understand that I, you know, maybe came across that piece of advice right at the right time, and I said yes to it. But that was my story. You know, I mean, again, like, that's my story, and I'm doing with my story what I feel like I need to be doing with my story. But this is your story. Like, you're the one who writes it. You know, what are you going to say yes and no to yourself about? Because really, it's not about what anybody else thinks. Like, you need to do what you need to do with your life.
Jackie, this has been such a good, it's such a good conversation and so inspirational. And I know we could talk forever, but I guess we should, I don't know. How should we end this?
Well, Jackie, all right.
I still have questions.
Like, let's go with two last questions for you. One, like, we know you're going to Baja. But is there any other trips on the horizon that you're excited about for this year, or maybe next year? I mean, New Zealand, I guess, but is there anything else that that you're excited about going to?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to Europe for at least a month, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months, nice. Coming up here next month. Wow. And I'm going to do some cycling and hanging out with my friends. And like, I still travel for me on the side, which is really amazing because
that is amazing.
That's important to me. You know, it's like, that's part of that balance that I'm really looking for is yes, you know, when they say don't mix your passions with your work because it'll become work for you. I mean, I don't necessarily believe that because I love what I do. However, there's just like an addendum to that that should be that you need to remember what it is that you love about that and continue to seek those things out so that it's not all work, you know? And so that's the balance that I'm also constantly trying to find. And yeah, so I'm going to go to Europe without my, you know, without a group trip for a couple of months and just kind of go. And I mean, there will be some scouting involved and there's going to be some birthday celebrating with friends and other things, you know, visiting some people that I know in Europe. Like, it's just, I need to do that for me, you know? So I'll go do that for a couple of months and it's going to be great. And, there's conferences I'll be attending and in different countries and other things going on throughout the year that of course I'm looking forward to because this stuff still lights me up, you know? And then at the same time, being able to, kind of take breaks from being truck camper living, which I think is really important, you know, like something that you love, you need to distance yourself from it so that you can remember why you like it. And, you know, being, being,
we get it.
Yeah.
You never get out of it.
You will. And then for whatever reason, we like on YouTube, people are like, they feel like we've lied to them. They're like, you don't live in that thing 24/7. I'm like, no, I would kill somebody. Like
well,
after
we did
a while,
for a couple years in the van, but we're traitors now that we have a house too. They're like, how dare you?
But
like, trust me, you would too, if you could,
you're completely right.
Yeah. I want to get a house. I just don't know where it should be. You know, there's things, but yeah, absolutely. Like this is an adventure life, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not prepared to answer, like, how long are you going to be doing this? Well, until it feels like I should be doing something else is the answer to that. Good. But, like, what happens then? I'm not really sure. We'll see when we get there. But, yeah, I think everything is, especially the way that I live my life, it's like, I mean, it's kind of like a constant adventure, but it needs that balance. It needs those international trips. It needs the domestic trips. It needs the truck life. It needs staying in actual solid walls that don't move. With maybe a laundry machine here and there, you know, like there's
what a luxury,
right? I mean, there are so many things people take for granted, and when you turn those things into an adventure, wow, life really gets spicy. It's so much fun. But yeah, no, I think that really it's just about finding that balance. Like that's my word for 2024, and that's what I'm really trying to do is just like find that balance, and it's going to be a mix of being in the States, being abroad, living in the camper, not living in a camper. Possibly renting something again. I haven't in over a year. So that'll be like even an adventure in itself for me. I don't know how that would feel, but we'll get there when we get there. You know, everything, it's going to work out. So
Jackie, thank you so much for being here. Can you tell everybody who's listening how they can find you? We'll link everything down below, but just tell them where they can find your podcast, your blog, Instagram, and your trips. Anything else I may have missed?
So I'm Traveling Jackie and you can find me on Instagram. It's the only place that it's my only socials really at Traveling Jackie. And travelingjackie.com is that blog where I'm writing really cool stuff about truck suspension. and then, jumpadventures.com is my company and you can find us also on Instagram at it's actually jump.adventures right now on Instagram. But yeah, you can find everything through Traveling Jackie, whichever way you look for it. And the podcast is called Jump with Traveling Jackie. So it's all connected. And when you find one, you find all of it.
Good.
Love it.
Awesome. Easy.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you guys. This has been really fun. A really great way to start my day. So thank you.
Well, safe travels and we'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to What No One Tells You with Chris and Sarah. If you have a comment or question that you want answered on the air, be sure to send us a message to hello@chrisandsarah.com, or you can call or text our phone number at 423-825-9572. Thanks for listening.